بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Our work is to sow the seeds of goodness. Time will make that good germinate fruit and be productive. Our work is not to see how long it's taking. Are you working in that direction? This morning, one person came after 30 years. So, what was the problem 30 years ago? He was engaged, and their family circles are such that after the engagement, they consider everything permissible. Fiancing, dating, going out, staying over the night. So that's customary now, become a tradition now. So what I told him, if you can do it the halal way, then why do it the haram way? He said, no, but the family is such a big family, very, very wealthy, and big family. Now, you have to consider the emotions, sentiments of the immediate and extended family. If you don't, then it's split up, it's a breakup. I didn't want to get into the whole story. You can understand now the person. Alright, why don't you do this much? We'll make the nikah now. Right? I'll make it, I'll do it tomorrow. Make the nikah now. And then the grand ceremony, you can do it in your time. At least this will happen, that from now till whenever that ceremony takes place, whatever you're doing is halal. You're phoning, you're meeting, staying over, going for a drive, going to eat somewhere. But all what you're doing is halal. So if someone is offering you meat, spurs, halal, and this is the haram division, then why must you insist that I must have that haram? The thing is identical. And here you can get it halal, why do it? With the pilgrim, with the nikah. Now he brought his son-in-law to be with the same niyat. But now, make his nikah. They engaged, but make the nikah. So it brought happiness. Alhamdulillah. But now these points have to be brought to them. As the Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib says, I don't know if anybody was here in Stanger the days he came around. So after Maghrib there will be iftar, and after the iftar, this about half an hour or 40 minutes before the Isha and Tarawih, he'll have a sitting. Someone's taking beer and he's giving some special advice. So on one occasion, he says, I got something very special to say. Or, chahe to ye meri wasiyat samjho. And if you want, you can consider this to be my last bequest. So, he's saying it, and he's saying it with such fervor and such importance. And he continued to say, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come li utam mima makarim al akhlaq, to perfect the greatest of character, the best, superb character, and the one that came to perfect it was Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means there is no good character above the style that he had shown. So someone can show character, someone can show some good values, but at the level that Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought it, nobody can bring it at that level. He's brought it at the highest level. Allah, when Allah Pak himself is a witness, Allah khuluqin azim. So there can't be a level of character higher than his. So Allah Ta'ala has made testimony in not just one place, in several places in the Quran Sharif. Right? And then the hadith also speaks about the akhlaq and the character of Rasul Pak. So the Quran Sharif, this testimony, the Hadith speaks about it, the different occasions and how Rasulullah had displayed his character. Like, just one occasion, right? Just one incident for you to understand Rasulullah's behavior. So, Rasulullah is sitting in the midst of all the elite Sahaba Kiram, Abu Bakr, etc., right? Radiallahu. And one villager comes in. He says, I want assistance. And see, it's not your wealth, it's not your father's wealth. That's the word he's using. It's not your wealth, it's not your father's wealth. I find it difficult to say because it's the personality of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But now this is how the hadith goes. Just give me some of that wealth. Then, not only that, then he pulls Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by the shawl. And the shawl is a little bit rugged, coarse material. So, the impressions of that shawl is visible on his neck. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in a light-hearted way, says, no, I won't until you don't allow me to do the same to you. So, no, never allow you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just smiled at him. Camel's load. Camel's load means at least about 300 kilos. That's a camel's load. 300 kilos. So, can you find sublime character at that level? Can't find it. It's too much. At least we will have put up our face, pick you up, let you, drag you, do something. You know, I need to set a lesson. That's what we will think here. But now see his style, totally different. So, you attract people with mannerisms and values. Akhlaq. Akhlaq se jeette hai. Aur muhabbat se maarte hai. So you win over people to Islam, the level of character. And that has to be the important ingredient in all our works. It has to be there. So that Shah Ishaq Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, speak about his marriage thing afterwards. So that Shah Ishaq Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, when he saw that things are not working out in India, and the prelude to this whole thing was, Chandni Chowk is like the most busy. The heaviest traffic in Delhi right now, very heavy. So he saw as though the Mubarak body of Rasulullah Paksam was lying there and people are walking over it. So he understood now what it means. Rasulullah Paksam represents Islam, right? And now people are trampling upon Islam. They don't show the regards and respect to the dini values. They're not showing it. When he saw this, now it's pointless me living here. Now I need to move away from this. Because every person has a threshold to endure. But now you see the sunnahs just slaughtered before your eyes. Slaughtered, it's murdered, it's killed before your eyes. Then now, the man is coming from that family, Shah Waliullah Sahib's family, and they came with such a high religious spirit, and for him to see this thing, it was like unbearable, totally unbearable. And he couldn't manage, he said, no, I'm moving away to Medina Munawwara. Moved away. Now in Medina Munawwara, was his style, he's going to do some shopping, his own needs, so he'll carry his whole purse, he's got all his money, all the money he's got in the purse. So he's buying some commodities and he's putting out the purse or the wallet and he's giving it. So one villager is watching the whole scene. He's got all his money here, pulling out, and he timed it nicely and he grabbed that thing. He grabbed and he ran. So Shah Sahib didn't pursue him, didn't follow him, nothing. Didn't do absolutely nothing to him. But in approximately half an hour, hour's time, this person came back to the Shastab's house and he's knocking at the door and saying, just take your wallet, please. And Shastab is not opening the door. I came to return the wallet. Now, he's not seeing any joy. So he went to the townspeople, this man, I came to return his wallet, not taking it. And apart from that, he's blocked my passages and I can't move. I'm going on this road, the thing is closing up for me. I'm going on that end, the road is closing up, ending up for me. So he's not taking his wallet back and he's not allowing me to leave. So the people felt sorry for the rogue. He came to Shastab Rahmatullahi, said, at least take your wallet back. Knocking at the door, he's not opening, and then eventually he opened. Now, this was the part that I wanted to share with you. See. So he says, ye batwa to mera hai nahi. This wallet doesn't belong to me. Because the moment he snatched it away from me, then I thought to myself, ab ye Rasool-e Qasam ki ummati hai. اور میرے پیسوں کی وجہ سے یہ گنہگار ہوگا تو مجھے برداشت نہیں ہوتا. It's because of my wealth and this person will be recorded as a sinner, then I don't want that to happen. See that level of isar, yusiruna ala anfusihim. So, akhlaq se jeette. So, because of my wealth, and he is recorded as a sinner by the Malaika, that can't happen. Now, Rasulullah must feel so embarrassed that my ummah is doing this. No. That point, I just made the niyat that money is his, it's hiba for him, khalas. So he's not recorded as a chor, as a thief. I made it hiba to him, finish. So it's not mine any longer now. If it's not mine any longer, then what do you want me to do? You see that mindset. The mindset that, do we have that level of conformity in our mindset? So they begin, alright, they'll open the road for him now. See, he's going this side, he's getting blocked up. That side is getting blocked up. He's going that side. Shasab's karamat. And he's going any side, alright, jao, jao, it's a rasta khula hua hai, go. Mid dua for you, go. But you see the mindset. So, we're coming to this story. So I'm explaining them, you know. The hadith speaks about three things not being delayed. Namaz, when the time is up, then don't delay it. For the woman generally the woman is better that they read the namaz immediately as the time sets in. Immediately as the time sets in, read the namaz. That means, just around before the time sets in, make the wuzu, everything, pisab, pani, everything is done, cleared up, and you're waiting for the time to come in. As you're waiting for the time to come in, you read your sunnahs, Zuhr, Fajr, Asr, sunnahs you read. Then, time is set in now. If you want, you can wait for the azan. Or, when the time is set in, now perform your namaz. Now that doing that namaz is an awwal waqt. As-salatu ala miqatiha. Someone asked, Ayyul a'mali afdal, which work is the best? Salatu ala miqatiha. Namaz at its proper time. It's such a beautiful thing. Right? Women will do it at home, men in the masjid. Right? But now, to make us understand, right, performing namaz at its proper time, so to make us understand, to make us digest this thing here, someone has prepared some good food, right? Biryani, but it's being served to you after 3 days. The priest already enjoyed this biryani. Kya hoga? I can see from Munispa's face how it'll be. You don't want to appreciate that, right? Now that namaz, you're making it stale and then you're offering it to Allah Ta'ala, then how do you want Allah Ta'ala to accept it? It's stale now. You left the prime time, you left it at a time that has gone a little bit off now, makruh time or delayed action, and then you're offering to Allah Ta'ala. How will Allah Pak accept it? That is His mercy and His grace. That will say, alright, I'll make you maaf. But that's not the thing that you enjoy. You're hungry, you'll eat the thing. Right? You're hungry, you'll eat it. But do you appreciate that? Or you want garma garam, taza ba taza. What you want? So exactly the same. Namaz on its proper time. So my assessment is, our South Africans, namaz in the proper time, perhaps they got about 20%. You give them 20 marks of 100, right? Namaz on the proper time. Then the second thing is, the janaza, the person died now, you did everything, all the necessary burial order, this and all that, whatever. You did everything. So now, then what's the delay now? So there, generally, maybe our people score 80%, alhamdulillah. Because generally you'll find 4-5 hours is done. Chop, chop, everything is done. 80%. But the third is the nikah, when the match is found. There, I don't know if you get 0.5% or 0.5%. When the match has been found, then do it. Now then what's the need? If anybody is going to delay it at that point, then the boy is sinning, the girl is sinning, and the elders that are asking it to be delayed, they are sinning as well. So can there be barakat in this? Can there be the blessings of Allah Ta'ala in this? When both the spouses to be, they are sinning, in somehow or the other, and the elders that are managing the whole process, so all of them are involved. Whether it is those spouses, whether it is those elders that are managing the whole process, to understand that, bring yourself at that age, 19, 20, when you are filled with energy, right? And somebody asks you to delay for 1 month. Now you're talking of yourself when you're 70 or 65 or something like that, right? That's not a fair comparison. Comparison is not fair. Now, alright, you don't have that energy. But at that time, so when that match has been found, then do it then. See now how it works. Understand how it works. Many times when you're talking to people, the verse of the Quran Sharif opens out. Right. So, everything is appreciated and enjoyed when it's in its proper place at the proper time. Proper place and proper time, it's enjoyed, it's appreciated, and it's loved. Right? Right? The child used the cup, right? Used the glass. And he's been trained, after using it, leave it in its proper place. But if the child is trained in that way, don't you enjoy it? Don't you appreciate it? Don't you love the child? See this child, what values he's come with. Because now, in a few minutes, few moments, the next child is going to be looking for the cup to drink water. But now he's hunting, where's the glass? But if you've been trained, alright, this is the place, you pick it up here. And where you picked it up from, leave it at the same spot. So that the next person doesn't find any problem. No difficulty. Right. So, Rasulullah is teaching us these habits. Small, we consider it to be small. But really, it's great, massive things. See in the hadith, Iqnaha anil ikran. There's something offered to you, right? So Nabi Sam says, don't you take two pieces at a time. Because it's 10 people, right? 10 people, right? And say there's 15 khajurs there. And you took 3. It's going to be a fair distribution. Not going to be a fair distribution. Now consider, alright, this other person, the second person, third person, fourth person. In other words, when it's something that is being enjoyed jointly, everybody's sharing it, then be considerate. See that the next person has something better than yourself. So now this law will go right across the board. Now you in the wuzu khana, then you don't sit on the seat while such people are waiting and you take 5 minutes to do a miswak. Go and do the miswak standing up quickly and then do the wuzu. In the toilet now, leave it in a crispier and cleaner condition than you had visited it. And more especially when you're traveling on a plane or some type of a public transport or a public place, right? Then leave it in a better condition than you had found it. So now, if you say, no, I'm Muslim, I must perform my namaz, you know, my wudu, I must die, I must do it. So these are all kafirs, you know, because of us, these people are living here. And you would mess the whole place up. Now, what message are you sending to that next person? Are you sending the right signal? He sees Islam from your behavior, from your actions, that's how he sees Islam. But if he sees that the toilet was in a mess, and after he came out, it's so beautiful, clean, crisp, fresh, better than it was, you know, this religion is something else here. Now, you have to perform namaz, right? Every Muslim must perform namaz. But now, it's Fajr namaz on a Friday, right? Now, you know, just now, everybody is rushing to the toilet. And now you thought of reading Alif Lam Tanzeel, Surah Sajda, right? And Halata, reading Qiraat style. Now, people are pressed to go to toilet, and now you said, I must do all this. I ask, are you being considerate? Is that the right thing? Now, people didn't understand Islam, really. The right thing was, inna atina kulwalla, finish it up, khalas. So, these people will see the namaz, and they will see the consideration as well. That you're so considerate, and you have done your duties, you've performed your obligations, but with such consideration, this, you know, is something to think about. So in everything that you're doing, that level of consideration, then Islam likes and advocates, what it advocates, do it in order. There's a sequence, there's a tartib. So, respect the tartib. So, if you're going to respect the tartib, you know, the sequence that you're supposed to be doing, there's going to be ease, there's going to be tranquility, there's going to be happiness. But provided you did it in the sequence, and you missed out the sequence, right, or you ignore the sequence, you can never enjoy tranquility and peace. Why? You'll ask why. So now look at the verse. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. The heart will find satisfaction in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. The remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is not restricted to saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. It's not restricted. But anything that amounts to the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, to the obedience of Hazrat Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all will come under the category of dhikrullah. So if you've done something that is not in conformity with the sunnah, you must feel a feeling of uneasiness. You feel a feeling of restlessness. Right? Now, you're writing a bequest, right? The bequest, you can only make a bequest for a non-heir. An heir, he's got a stipulated share, so you don't have to write a bequest for him. But a non-heir, you'll make out a bequest for him. But now, your emotions had the better over you, and you wrote out a bequest for an heir. This child, my darling child, write something for him. Someone brings it to your attention. I ask you, from the time that he brought it to your attention, will you feel ease? You know, how am I going to face Allah Ta'ala? But you know, he did so much for me, this child. And you know, he's such a darling child. Now that mind is not going to be at ease at all. Those thoughts are going to traumatize you. And the moment you fixed it up, you did it right, now, at that moment you find it difficult to write it down. But after that, then your mind will be at ease. Okay, I'm doing something, and this is according to the command of Allah Ta'ala, the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so I'm clear, inshallah. I won't have any problems. But if you moved away from this, then you're looking for trouble. So, anything that is in conformity with the sunnah, you maintain that sequence, then you are supported, you are guarded, right? And you, the most important thing is you will enjoy the calmness, the tranquility, the composure, the mind is at ease, settled, right? You feel relaxed. You don't feel uneasy, right? Now a person is walking in his house, right? it's a very hot day now, let's relax and be cool. And he's wearing a boxer shorts. So his children aren't around, it's just him and his wife. But he is going to feel that feeling of uneasiness. Isn't he going to feel? He'll have to make up a feeling that I'm feeling so comfortable, I just got a short pants here, right? Knees are all exposed. But I ask you, will he feel, enjoy that inner feeling of satisfaction and happiness? He's not going to feel it. Why? Because it's not in accordance with the sunnah. He's not going to find that. So if he wants that comfort, that ease of the mind, he'll have to just come back. And until and unless he's got it, he's not going to find the comfort. He's not going to find the ease. There's going to be something that's going to be irking him, something's going to be disturbing him. He's got an interest loan from the bank, right? For that moment, he'll feel happy. He got so much, 1 million. For that moment, he finds a little bit of ease. But I ask you, won't that be a headache? You know, something happens to me, if I die, I want the interest now, what's going to happen to me? See that uneasiness. But where it's coming from? Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Now, he's got that, or he's got some type of an insurance, right? All our ulama, I'm seeing from old until now, all are writing the same thing, one and the same thing, what they say, the Oban Fatwa to all of the leading Muftiyana Kiram say one thing. This is the combination of interest and gambling. Insurance is a combination of interest and gambling. Now you got that, you feel a little bit satisfaction. What do you feel now? Hey, I got a cover. But in the event now, if something happens to me, how am I going to face Allah Ta'ala? Because these ulama-i kiram are saying that it's a combination of interest and gambling. So what's going to happen to me? I ask you, will you feel the deep sense of satisfaction and happiness? You're not going to find it. Try what you want, you're not going to find it. Now, we don't need to compare ourselves with kuffar. Kuffar may find something, right? But we are not going to find that. So Allah Pak doesn't treat all His servants in the same way. Different servants are treated in different ways. And you also won't treat everybody the same. If it's your son, right, and he's taking weed, right? Right. And if you reproach him and he says, but weed is perfectly legal in this country now. So are you going to accept his story? You're going to shout him, say, my roof, my rules, you can't do this thing in my house. You're going to bring the roof down, right? Won't you do that? But if it's a stranger that is taking it, will you shout him like that? You're not going to shout him. So you're not going to treat each person in the same way. You'll treat people differently. So the same, that Muslim is Allah Pak's man. Allah Ta'ala ke ghar ke aadmi hai. Khasatullah. Ahlul Qur'an, khasatullah. Wahum ahluhu. They are Allah Pak's people. So they treat it differently. So when they treat it differently, the feelings will be different. Now, the example that is shown is, see, is filth, right? Dirt, filth, sewage. A swine comes across it, it will relish, it will grow healthy, plump, nice, building up a lot of nourishment, a lot of flesh. The butcher is happy. Can't say mashallah for that. Haram, right? But if that cow sees that this thing is relishing on this thing here, and it wants to imitate that, what will happen? It will come sick. It will die. That thing's system can't agree with this. This thing's system agrees with it. And this thing's system doesn't agree. But this is an animal, this is an animal. This is got 4 feet, it's got 4 feet. Characteristics seem to be same, more or less. But now, why is it working for this one, why isn't it working for that one? So, both lines are different. Lines are different. Kafir, it will work for him. It will create a dream for him. And for the Muslim, no, you will have problems. So you are different in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, you will be treated different as well. Now understand this again. Allah bi dhikrillahi. And when Allah Pak is speaking about this with so much of emphasis, you know, you say bi dhikrillah. Taqdeemu ma haqquhu at-ta'khir. or in English you may say, one is I say, I worship you, O Allah Ta'ala, I worship you. And one is, I say, you alone do I worship. I say, is it same? Does it have the same feeling? So this is called taqdeemu ma haqqu wa ta'khir. So you're changing the prepositions around to create emphasis, to impress. So Allah is saying, you're not going to find it anywhere. Until you don't come back to me, you're not going to find that happiness, you're not going to find that fulfillment. You want that fulfillment, come to me. Conform, come to me, and you'll find fulfillment. Right? I'm just sharing something with you. Sometimes, you know, you're human, right? You are subject to earthly conditions. A lot of things, you hear phones, emails, people coming to make mashwara. Then, because you are human, then your mind can turn at times. Your mind can turn, or you can have a reservation against any particular person. But then I said, hey, no man, a Muslim must win at any time. Qadhafullah al-Mu'min, Allah says it, that Muslim must win. Can't be losing, how can you lose? So then, I thought of a way, now how you overcome that. Precisely at that moment, you got getting other type of thoughts about people, etc. Make dua for them. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, let me love the person, respect him, give him the best of this life, the next life. Now I ask you, what's better if you die in a condition that you're making dua for the person, you got some sympathy and good in your heart for the person, or you're dying in a condition that you're harboring malice and ill feelings in your heart for him. You want him to be just humiliated and disgraced. And when you see the person humiliated and disgraced, and you're rejoicing. Is that the way a Muslim is supposed to be behaving? So at that time that this thing is knocking you, it's hammering you, at that time making dua for him, in the good. Let me understand things rightly. Maybe there's a different perspective to this whole story that I didn't understand. And overall, O Allah Ta'ala, I'm not in charge of lasna alayhim bi musaytin. I'm not appointed as a police to go and police people. The surface seems to be right, so I consider him to be the right person. Beyond that, Allah, you didn't ask me to go and inspect and police his affairs. So, won't you have a good heart then? Won't you be making dua for them? It's not that now, that the wrong will be justified. If it's wrong, it's wrong, finish. If it's a wrong, then that wrong is counted as a wrong. You won't justify the wrong. That's another wrong. Otherwise, there won't be any wrong in the Quran Sharif. Everything is right then. So what is wrong, we will count it as wrong. If it's, for example, males and females all congregating, no segregation, integration, right? Then you say, this is wrong. Whoever did it is wrong. Perhaps he didn't know about it. Perhaps he made a mistake. But that wrong is wrong. But because of this wrong that he's done, don't think now that me, I am a winner, I am going to Jannat, he's going to Jahannam. That's Allah Pak's decision. Who is going to Jannat, who is going to Jahannam, that's Allah Pak's decision. What the future holds for me, what it holds for him, Allah Pak knows. But what's going on now is wrong, it's haram, and I must correct the thing, I must stop it. So I was speaking about the Shaykh Hamdai and the bequest that he made. That's where I went off. This is, the whole Quran and the Hadith is replete about the sublime character of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? And the very mission was li utammima makarim al-akhlaq, to perfect this. But now that doesn't mean that you don't correct the wrong. Now, see, people don't have the understanding of deen. Because they don't have the understanding of deen, now, if you correct them, as the Shaykh Ramah is saying, if, for example, the person is shaving off his beard, right? And you correct him, that, by this is not right. So, how he responds like this, bas yahi akhlaq hai kya? Kya yahi akhlaq hai? This is a sublime character, what? He doesn't understand deen. When he doesn't understand deen, therefore he is giving this type of a response. So that has to be corrected. Like if it was your child, right? If it was your child and he made a mistake. He's growing up now, he's 7 years, 8 years of age, he understands right from wrong, right from left, right. And he's drinking with the left hand. Won't you correct the child? You correct the child. But the child said, is this character now? So you say, bhai, you know, take your time to understand what character means. It doesn't mean now that I mustn't discourage the wrong. I mustn't prevent the wrong. I must prevent the wrong and still show good character. So there's two different commands. Al-amiruna bil ma'ruf wa nahuna 'anil munkar, right? And then the other ayat, wal-afina 'anil nas. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. So one is showing isar and one is showing amar bil ma'ruf and nahi al munkar. Both has to be done simultaneously. Both have to be done and both have to be done simultaneously. You can't say now he's a very good person because he doesn't say anybody, he doesn't say anything. But not a good person. He was not enjoining the good, not forbidding the wrong, not in his house, not in his circle, not to the person that he's influenced. Then does he come under the purview of the ayat, Amiruna bil ma'ruf, kuntum khayra ummatin, and ta'amuruna bil ma'ruf? Can he come under that purview? Can't come under that ayat. He has to, alright, but he'll have to look, alright, how must I go about doing it? Encourage the right, prevent the wrong. But how must I go about doing it? But he must do it. After Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, his son Yazid became the Khalifa. Yazid, we know about the wrongs, right? So his Khilafah didn't last too long, but 4 years or something, he passed away. And after Yazid died, his son took on Muawiyah. That was the son of Yazid. Now, Muawiyah seemed to be a right person, good person. But then his khilafat was only about 4 months. And they asked him, you know, why don't you appoint a successor? He says, no, I'm going to appoint this. Because must I take on the burden of khilafat if I'm alive and after I'm gone? I'm going to appoint the person. So if the wrong person, the whole burden will come on to me. I'm not appointing anybody. So from the statement you make out that he had some dini consciousness, he didn't appoint. In the meanwhile, whilst Yazid is still alive, his khilafat, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu moved on to Makkah Mukarramah. Because he sees this person is not right. Drinking wine, whatever else he's doing, he's not the right person, so he moved on. Moved on to Makkah Mukarramah. Right. Now, in the meanwhile, Marwan, Muawiyah, that is the son of Yazid. He passed away. After 3-4 months, he passed away. When he passed away, so generally, the general consensus was, people took bayat at the hands of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu. Right. But now, Marwan, the kitab say, Bagha. So he announced khilafat for himself. But now, in the meanwhile, his khilafat is already established. When in Rajab, who's Ibn Zubayr, and Marwan is coming in Zulqada. How many months difference? We work it out. 4 months difference. So who came first? Abdullah bin Zubayr. Then comes Marwan. Right. So he becomes the Baghi. He becomes the rebel. Because the first person that stands for Khilafat, then the whole Islamic Republic will stand with him. So now he became the Baqi. But he didn't last for too long. But then after that, the Khilafat went into his children's name, after Marwan. Now, at the time of Marwan, Marwan altered the time of the Eid Khutbah. The Eid Khutbah is done before the Namaz, after the Namaz. After the Namaz, yeah. Now, Chota Mata used to take exams on the top masjid. 1984, 83. How many rakats in Jamaat? Zanza Namaz. 4 rakats. Yeah, the style. Allah bless him. Good people. Very good hearted people. So Marwan altered the whole khutbah sequence. He brought it before the Namaz. And it's supposed to be after the Namaz. So he altered it. Why he altered it? Because in his khutbah, he was insulting Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Sahaba-e-kiram and her Lee Jialong. And the general crowd didn't want to listen to this. So the Eid khutbah, you have a choice to remain or to move away. Now when they saw that Ali and other Sahaba Ikram are being reviled and insulted, get up and move away. So Abu Sa'id Khudri reports this hadith. Perhaps he said this or someone else said it. He said, Amma haza faqad asa an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Asaita an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have gone against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Sa'id Khudri then says, this person has fulfilled his obligation. His obligation was, when you see the wrong, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِي فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِي فَبِلِّسَانِي. He has fulfilled his obligation. He saw a wrong and he corrected it. So it was an obligation and he fulfilled that obligation. Now we think now that no, to speak about it is wrong. It doesn't conform to akhlaq, etc. It's all off that. The reason is off. Our Buzugan Adin, the style and the reasoning, the ways were totally different. And because we don't have a deep attachment to them, to their thinking, therefore then we also depart from the truth. We are talking about the Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Now look at these people here, look at their thinking. I was explained that he had migrated to Madinah Munawwara, and I showed you the circumstance under which he felt it compelling to leave. So he wrote up to his student. His student was somewhere, Ajmer, right? He's the imam there. So he wrote up to his student that, see, my intention is to make hijrah to Madina Munawwara, but because Ajmer is coming on the way, so I will visit the qabr of Hazrat Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Alayhi. Right? I'll visit qabr, like if you are traveling, and on the way is the qabr of your father, you don't want to stop. You say, hey, man, my father's qabr, I'm going to just bypass it. How can I do it? You will show your respects and then you move on. So out of respect, he went. So he's writing up to his student that I'm going to pass that way. My intention is to stop over and then I will proceed. So the students were such also in that zamana. Students said, see, Hazrat, don't come this way. Because I'm condemning this grave worship. What? They say, Kabar Pujari, I'm condemning it. And they say, yeah, some people are coming here making sajda and what things they are doing. So I'm condemning them to come to the Kabars. Looking at the broader picture, the visiting of the grave is permissible. But now the way it's happening now, they're bowing down to the grave, they're asking for their needs. There's no segregation, men, women, everything is coming. It's like a free-for-all atmosphere, right? So I'm condemning this thing here because of this. So now you're going to come here, you're going to support this thing here. Because people say that this is the ustad of, this is my ustad, and he is doing his, so it must be right. See, what they will say? That this is my ustad, and my ustad can come, undertake the journey to visit this qabr. So coming to visit the qabr is also permissible. Right? That's how they will read it. So now, look at how the Shah Sahib Rahmatullah take. Let's say, look at these people, what their style was. So Shah Sahib's response was, see, I will come through Ajmer, and I will come to the qabr as well. But you see, the Juma, the pre-Juma talk, in the pre-Juma talk, you must condemn this practice. And you must say it also that, I don't know what's going on with this ulama kiram, some of this ulama kiram, that they are undertaking journeys to come to the qabrs here. And I'll stand up and say, what you're saying is absolutely right, I made a mistake. But now, the concern was, what was the concern? That the minds of the people mustn't be in a state of confusion. Right? So, in respect of the Sharia, he says, alright, my reputation can go. But the reputation, the respect of the Shari standards mustn't be compromised. The respect of the Shari standards mustn't be compromised. But now how he reconciled the both? That he visited and he instructed the student that you must say it in the pre-Juma, that I don't know what's wrong with these people, they come to visit mausoleums and graves. It's not the right thing. And I would say, no, what you're saying is 100% true, and I have made a mistake. See where the minds are going. The sanctity and the respect of the Sharia. Now it's whole in reverse. It's my sanctity, it's my respect. Now, until we don't get our hearts attached, we're not going to get this right. I'm talking of all current, what's happening over the week, what stories and panchayat and all comes in. So it is repeating the same things. So this week, the last week also, this country is another country to live and see the violence and tire burning this side here, truck blowing that side, trucks burning that side, move on. So you hear the story, one person, second person, third person. I heard the story and kept on listening to the story. Then I'm thinking of, what is the solution? So the verse of the Quran. So I'm saying, we're not reading the Quran Sharif enough. You read this thing here, then you see the lines. Allah Pak says, إِيَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah Ta'ala were to help you, then nobody can overtake you. Nobody can overwhelm you. Provided you secure the help of Allah Ta'ala, then nobody can overtake you. Nobody can overwhelm you. That's His promise. But now the question would be, then how do you secure the help of Allah Ta'ala? Isn't it? Allah's promise is, if I am on your side, nobody can do anything. But I must be on your side. But then your question would be, that how must I get onto the side of Allah Ta'ala? So, that also is in the pages of Quran Sharif. In tansurullaha yansurkum. Doesn't Allah say that? Doesn't His promise? You help Allah Ta'ala and He will help you. Right. Now, we keep talking about fitna, this thing is happening and impending punishment will come on South Africa. By Allah didn't ask you to make people despondent, lose hope. Did He ask you to do that? Yes. If you are talking of a crisis, show a solution. If you're talking of a crisis, then show a solution. So, people's their belief in Allah Ta'ala is not altered. Now say, hey, you know, what's going to happen? We Muslims and Islam and we're catching it. And what's happening here? So all these stories are going to bring out. But now if you show it from a different dimension, in tansurullaha yansurkum, you're going to help Allah Ta'ala. He's going to help you. Right? Now through this, there's two things, right? So, you may think, now, alright, the help of Allah Ta'ala will come, but perhaps in the hereafter. No, no. See, in this whole, you're helping Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about, يُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي الْأَنْهَارِ. You know, خَلَدُلُّكُمْ مَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً. That's the hereafter. But the second thing Allah Ta'ala says, وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُّونَا نَصْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ. So, one is what's postponed for the hereafter. One is an immediate help and rescue. One is what's in store for the hereafter. One is what is immediate. All of us like something. The bride, all of us love for it, isn't it? Something, you get the smell and all that. Don't even want to go towards it. You want something immediate as well. And Allah is promising, I'm not such that you, I will only give you in the hereafter. You think I'm so stingy that I'm going to give you then. You know, I'll give you your wage only end of the year. No, no. I'll give you something for now also. Something to cool your eyes, something now. But now, then how do you help the cause of Allah Ta'ala? So the helping of the cause of Allah Ta'ala doesn't have to be done in one set way. Everybody can't become more like Khatani. Will it work that? So there'll be no audience then. Oh no, he's speaking. 100 people are giving bayans. Who's going to be the audience then? And there's a lot of deeni work to be done. There's a lot of, I know, and I'm not exaggerating, there's lots and lots of deeni work to be done. Yeah, just around Durban, there's the need of so much of maktabs. There's so many foreigners, and we can't do justice. We just start one, another one starts up. Start another one, so someone told me now, 120 people came Muslim just now. Now who's going to take care of them? Isn't there a need for that? So when we look for a niche market, you'll find the niche market. You'll find, oh, there's an avenue here, there's something here. What can I do? How can I help out? Right. So there's hundreds of ways to help the cause of deen. But then, the secret in this is to subject yourself to some mashwara. Because if everybody will do his own thing, right? I like to give bayan. 100 people want to give bayan. So, it's going to work out. No. But you subject yourself to a mashwara, alright, you give the bayan, you peel the potatoes. Because if you're not going to peel the potatoes, how are you going to give the bayan? Can you give the bayan? So you'll find a niche market, you'll find a place for yourself, but that requires just a little bit of humility, subject yourself to a mashwara. Allah Baktu Fiqh.